Redefining Apprenticeships for the 21st Century. For centuries, people learned a new trade by apprenticing with a master craftsman. Think blacksmiths or cobblers. Benjamin Franklin famously apprenticed with his brother as a printer. Leonardo da Vinci started as an apprentice painter. Even Elvis Presley apprenticed as an electrician. In the past few decades, however, apprenticeships seem to fall out of fashion, and their numbers went down. That's changing. Backed in some cases by government grants, community colleges, or industry organizations, apprenticeships are back on the rise. I'm Jennifer Rooks. What does a modern-day apprenticeship look like? What industries does it benefit? What kinds of workers? We'll discuss new efforts in Maine to expand apprenticeship opportunities. Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. There is something old-fashioned sounding about the word apprentice, but this method of on-the-job training is resurging as a great way to prepare workers for the future. Today, we'll learn more about what kind of apprenticeships are offered in Maine. Joining me in the studio, Joan Dolan. She is Director of Apprenticeship and Strategic Partnerships for the Maine Department of Labor. Charlie Collins is Deputy Executive Director for Workforce Training for the Maine Community College System. And Bill Watson is Director of Husson University's Internship and Partnership Programs. He's also General Manager of Husson's Southern Maine Campus in Westbrook. As always, we want to hear from you. Have you ever been an apprentice or trained someone else? Is your small business interested in learning more? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Joan, I'm going to start with you and ask you, what exactly is an apprenticeship? How does it differ from an internship, which we hear a lot about, especially those of us with college-age kids?
Yep. So apprenticeship is a full-time job, and it includes at least a year of on-the-job training that's broken out into a very specific curriculum to meet the employer's needs, and it has to include at least 144 hours of classroom training. Apprenticeship, it differs from internship in that internship is typically for new hire workers. Apprenticeship in our state is typically for incumbent workers who are trying to move up from an entry-level job into a mid-skill level job.
Oh, interesting. So that's kind of a difference from apprenticeships of old, when people as a teenager would go and, say, apprentice with a cobbler or a printer or something like that. It's a different kind of way
Well, we still have entry-level apprenticeship programs, too, but many of our newly developed ones are mostly for bringing entry-level workers up to mid-skill. So it's not always for incumbent workers, but sometimes it is. And I don't think that, you know, internships are typically not for that. And internships are typically shorter term, probably less than a year, though some might go that long. And internships are also paid or unpaid, whereas apprenticeship is always paid.
Do we have a sense, do we have numbers on how many apprenticeships are offered in Maine each year?
Yes, we have approximately 1,100 apprentices right now in Maine. We have 96 what we call sponsors of apprenticeship, or businesses or associations or educational institutions that actually sponsor the apprentices.
Well, we have representatives of two educational institutions here today, and I want to turn to you all. Charlie, you know, somebody who doesn't know much about apprenticeships might think that going to community college or doing an apprenticeship would be two different paths. How do the community colleges work with organizations to create apprenticeships, and what kind of industries are we talking about?
Sure. Thank you, Jennifer. And, you know, our community colleges, as folks may not be aware, are spread out through the state. There's seven different institutions, and one of the ways we partner is each of our campuses have often what is a separate workforce development and training division. And within that division, you might have people coming to you that aren't on a path for a traditional degree right off the bat, but are looking at a particular training program. And that training program may be connected with an apprenticeship opportunity as well. So those allow students to sort of go a traditional path where there could be an established apprenticeship with that degree program. But in other cases, it could be a training program that's getting established. And we've gone to the Maine Department of Labor and Jones folks and say, hey, I think there's an opportunity for an apprenticeship here as well.
So I read that the community college in York County, for example, has an apprenticeship program with Portsmouth Naval Shipyard. Sure. What are some of the others that are more popular and well-established?
Yeah, another one that's happening is with Bath Iron Works. So they have contracted with particularly Southern Maine Community College to deliver the coursework that Joan mentioned is a requirement of an apprenticeship program. So either the example at York County Community College will put that coursework together in connection with the apprenticeship, or in BIW, they'll do that as well. There's a third one that has started recently with Sunday River, and particularly in the culinary arts area as well, which is kind of a new model. And I think that's starting to open up new ways that we're thinking about apprenticeship.
Well, Bill, tell me how apprenticeships fit in with Husson's philosophy and how that's different than maybe in years past.
Well, Husson's general philosophy is, it's part of our mission statement. Experiential learning is a key at Husson, and it's a real differentiator, probably from our university to our competition in our marketplace, and an internship. The internship program is a key part of that experiential learning. A couple of years ago, Husson, in fact, was recognized by U.S. News and World Report as one of the top 10 colleges and universities in the country for its internship program. And that was measured off of the number of students that we have participating in internships.
So these are internships, not apprenticeships.
That's correct.
And what are they paid? How or do they have some sort of certification involved?
Most are paid. And the way our internship program works, if a company is interested in having one of our students look at them for an internship, they submit a job description to me. And I get that job description approved by a academic committee because our internships are receive college credit. So and the typical internship lasts about a minimum of 120 hours. So the internship is approved. We talk to our student base about their interest in that particular company and the internship as described in that job description. At any one time, we'll have 600 to 700 students out on internships.
Charlie, will a student at a community college who's doing an apprenticeship at someplace like Bath Iron Works or Sunday River be receiving class credit as well as
yes.
pay?
That is correct. They can be working towards an associate degree. And the one at Portsmouth Naval Shipyard, particularly, it's known as the Trade and Technical Occupations Associate Degree. And with the Bath Iron Works, we actually work in concert with Maine Maritime Academy. So while we're delivering the courses, students are often working towards a marine design degree program through Maine Maritime.
Joan, I read recently that in the past few years, apprenticeships have really gone up nationwide, up 42% in about 4 years. And I know that part of that is because of an Obama administration initiative. But I'm kind of curious about why you think apprenticeships fell out of favor for a while after sort of being established practice for so long. How come this isn't something that my generation grew up hearing about as opportunities?
Well, I think that the emphasis has really been on 4 and 2 year degrees through college. And in Europe, apprenticeship is on par with earning a 2 or 4 year degree. And people are actually indentured. That's a really old sort of icky
yeah.
apprenticeship word. They're indentured when they're still in high school. And that's something that we're trying to work towards here in Maine as well, is creating opportunities for our high school students to get into an apprenticeship program at the age of 16 or 17 and to continue on and earn their TTO degree through the community college system and earn a paycheck and move forward in their career.
Is one of the important parts of an apprenticeship program some sort of certification or credential that comes out of it?
Yes, we try to get as many credentials as we can layered on with the apprenticeship program. But in the end, when a person completes the apprenticeship program, which can be 1 to 6 years in length, they earn a journey worker certificate issued by the Maine Department of Labor and recognized by the U.S. Department of Labor as a valid credential that's portable and can move from state to state within our United States. I just wanted to piggyback on something that Charlie said, too. We have a lot of relationships with the community college system that are providing education for our apprentices. Nestle Waters has one for maintenance technician. Pratt & Whitney has a huge apprenticeship program that's very successful. Maine Medical Partners has a medical assistant apprenticeship program. So we're really trying to make apprenticeship an option and partnering a lot with our community college partners to make it happen.
I understand there was a bond issue that passed last year that will help the apprenticeship program at the Department of Labor. Tell me how that's going to work.
I'm not sure.
Oh,
if you're talking
sure.
about the healthcare one with for the veterans.
I'm sorry. I thought that there was a voter-approved bond to help with apprenticeship programs in the community colleges.
Well, we got a voter-approved bond this past November, and a lot of that those resources are going towards what we're calling workforce development initiatives. It definitely will include the type of apprenticeship opportunities that Joan was mentioning. So,
and Joan, you mentioned right now 1,100 apprentices in the state of Maine. What's the goal? Is there something you'd hope, a number that you'd hope to reach?
So the Apprenticeship Council, which is appointed by the governor, has to set a biennial plan. And their plan is to triple the number of apprenticeship programs and apprentices in Maine in 2 years. And that's a very aggressive goal. But we're moving quickly towards it. We registered 21 new sponsors in the last calendar year, which is pretty much double what we did the year before. And so there is a really big interest from employers to adopt these programs, and I think it's a realistic goal.
You know, we're talking a little bit about the difference between apprenticeships and internships. And Bill, I'm wondering how many of the internships that students have end up leading to jobs, or do you see internships more as an opportunity for young people to just experience what the workplace is like?
Well, both really, but very, very interesting statistic. Husson had its biggest graduating class ever last May, and 74% of those graduates took jobs in Maine. And I think when we look at that and say, you know, what's the reason for that? Connecting a student while they're in college with a Maine-based company, I think certainly helps the knowledge that student has of the company and its culture, and also the knowledge that, of course, the company has of that student.
Phone number 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. If you want to send an email, you can send one to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. We're talking about the return of the concept of apprenticeships in the workforce. A lot has been made about the skills gap, that people are there are people out there who want to work who find that they don't have the skills they need in the industries that have openings. I'm wondering if one of you can speak to how apprenticeship programs address this gap. Go
sure.
ahead, Charlie or Joan. Go ahead.
Sure. Apprenticeship is, when I talked earlier about a lot of apprenticeships being for incumbent workers, that is really addressing moving entry-level workforce into mid-level jobs. And apprenticeship can help do that in a customized way that meets the business needs. We recently adopted the Maine Office of Information Technology just became a registered sponsor of apprenticeship for cyber technology technicians. And
that was the topic of our show yesterday, cybersecurity.
Cybersecurity is a huge need, and they're actually going to be taking interns, and they're going to be getting some credit towards their apprenticeship program. But they're going to be getting that. They'll get interns, and then they'll be hired as apprentices, and then they'll be in those entry-level jobs, and then they've actually at the same time adopted a second level of cybersecurity technician within the state OIT office. So, I mean, it's pretty exciting because it's really going to fill that need and train those people exactly how they need, because they come out of college and they don't have all the skills and that they need to be successful in the workplace. And we've really found that with our nursing programs for apprenticeship. We have specialty areas in nursing that are apprentices. So people graduate with a 4-year nursing degree. They have a license to be a nurse. And then they're going into a year to 18-month long apprenticeship program to get fully immersed in the culture within that specific hospital that they're working in. So they might be an emergency room nurse or a critical care nurse or oncology nurse, and because those skills are not, you know, you don't have time to get exposed to all that in the 4 years of nursing degree.
I'm going to go to Marion Sprague, who's called in from the Manufacturers Association of Maine. Hi, Marion, and I'm wondering if you can tell us about some examples of manufacturing industry apprenticeships, especially some of the newer ones.
Hi, absolutely. So apprenticeship is certainly not a new concept to manufacturers. They've been using it for a number of years. We find, and I heard them talking a little bit earlier about companies like Bath Iron Works and Pratt & Whitney, we find that our large companies tend to have really robust manufacturing programs. A little harder when we get into our small to mid-sized kind of companies. I think sometimes there's a little education that still needs to happen with those companies. But what we find with manufacturing and apprenticeship is that right now, especially with things like the skills gap and the hiring needs of these companies, they're really looking to alternative ways of filling some of those positions at their companies. And as Joan mentioned, hi, Joan.
Hi, Marion.
Hi. As Joan mentioned, there is certainly the need to move up some of the people who are in those entry-level positions into positions higher up in the company so that we're opening up for people who maybe don't have those skill sets right now to fill some of those entry-level positions. So companies are kind of using it as that training within that incumbent workforce to be able to continue to expand not only their workforce, but to continue bringing in fresh people into the workforce.
And Marion, I want to ask you if with the sort of the macroeconomics of having such a low unemployment rate, is there a bit of a shift in who's responsible for training workers? Are companies now thinking we need to do this training? We can't depend on whether it's community colleges or other organizations to do the training for us?
You know, I think in manufacturing, what we find with a lot of our companies is, especially now, they need people, and they're willing to train those people to get the right folks in there. So what you find is if you get someone who comes in and they've got some aptitude and they've got the drive to want to come to work and move up in a company, they're willing to spend that time to train them. And so it's a mix. I think we're finding a mix of companies who are using internal training sources, but also partnering with community colleges, partnering with other organizations to bring training in. So I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all to how companies are training, and they're being more creative, I think, on how that's being brought to their employers or employees.
Well, Marion, thanks so much for calling in today. I really appreciate it. Marion Sprague was with the Manufacturers Association of Maine. We are going to take a quick break. When we come back, your comments and questions. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Frenchies, celebrating the Maine woods with natural scents of balsam, spruce, pine, and cedar. Learn more at frenchiesnatural.com. And Maine Community Foundation, celebrating 35 years of investing in Maine communities. Learn more at mainecf.org. Maine Public has 2 paid summer internships available this summer for college or technical school students interested in careers in the news journalism, digital news, and/or technical broadcasting fields. Candidates for these Jim Dow internships should preferably be attending an institution based in Maine or have an existing connection to the state of Maine. For more information, please visit mainepublic.org and click on About and then Careers. or contact the Human Resources Department at 207-330-4506. Our application deadline is January 20th. Maine Public's podcast shortlist is now underway. The shortlist provides access to a wide range of Maine's most informative, interactive, and entertaining podcasts, from politics to craft beer and everything in between. This week's featured podcast episode of the week is the Lore Podcast, an episode called Anchored, which features two stories set in Casco Bay. Do you have or know a podcast created here in Maine that would be a great addition to the podcast shortlist? Send your suggestions to shortlist@mainepublic.org. The Maine Public Podcast Shortlist is at mainepublic.org. Click on Podcast Shortlist under our radio tab.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, Apprenticeships in Maine. Joining me in the studio, Charlie Collins, who's Deputy Executive Director for Workforce Training for the Maine Community College System. Bill Watson is Director of Husson University's Internship and Partnership Programs. And Joan Dolan is Director of Apprenticeship and Strategic Partnerships for the Maine Department of Labor. We invite you to join the conversation. Call 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. Before the break, Charlie, Joan was talking about apprenticeships, sometimes lasting 1 year, sometimes lasting as long as 6 years. But that doesn't always have to be in a direct line, does it?
No, it doesn't. And one of the examples we were talking about was this idea that some of our programs in the community colleges have a situation where students are in class for 8 weeks, and then they are in the company for 8 weeks. And particularly the automotive industry has been using that model where students study for 8 weeks straight, and then they go to the automotive. And they do this back and forth for the 2 years that they are in an associate degree program, as an example, with the idea that every time they go back, they get a little bump in pay, and they're learning and working at the same time.
Did you want to jump in, Bill?
No,
Okay. We're going to go to Brian, who's calling from Andover. Hi, Brian. Go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Go.
I have a couple of concerns. I am 100% behind this, this program. My concern is I think it needs to be dropped down to the high school level.
We need to get young people younger.
Kids. What's that?
You want to get young people at an even younger age.
Absolutely. If you look at the statistics, there's like 6 million jobs for the hands-on trades that are going unfilled because we cannot find workers for them. Votech schools do a great job of training the kids for 2 years. It is very difficult to get them into the workplace because of the insurance needs. I can train a student to become certified to run an overhead lift. I cannot hire them and put them in my business. Because of insurance regulations, that needs to change. These kids need to be out in the field a lot sooner than they are to find out if it's something that they really want to do. And obviously, businesses and colleges should jump on board with that because they're going to end up with most of them at some point. So,
Brian, thank you so much.
1,100 is a good number, but it needs to not only triple, it needs to go higher than that, and I'd like to see it come down to the lower level also.
Well, Brian, thank you so much. I know that there's just wonderful work going on at the Votech schools around the state. We did a program about a year ago, and boy, some of the programs are really wonderful. Carol, you wanted to jump in?
Yep. So I just wanted to mention that if an apprentice can be as young as 16 years old. And if a 16-year-old is a registered apprentice, the labor laws that surround what they can and can't do in certain hazardous occupations get relaxed in some instances. And so, there's real specific rules around that. But I am working with my CTE partners, or high school career and technical education partners, to work on developing apprenticeship programs for 16 and 17-year-olds in our state. In the state of Kentucky, they actually have 16 and 17-year-olds on the floor of manufacturing plants, and they're getting credit for going to work. They get credit towards their high school graduation, and they're working 3 days a week in the manufacturing plant, 2 days a week the next week, and flip-flopping back and forth between the classroom work and the on-the-floor work in the manufacturing plant. And I think we can replicate that here in Maine as well.
Brian, thanks for your call. We're going to go now to Steve Hewins. He's with Hospitality Maine, president and CEO of that. Thanks for joining us, Steve.
Sure, Jennifer. Thanks for having me.
So we've been hearing a lot about how the hospitality industry in Maine is having trouble finding enough qualified workers. Why is that?
Well, it's a lot of factors. You know, I think that, you know, a lot of people are sort of leaving the stage in our industry, you know, retiring and moving on. And, you know, and it's really a function of the growth, too. I mean, the industry itself has had 10 straight record years of sales growth based on, you know, sales tax receipts at the state level, both for restaurants and hotels. So when you have those two factors combined, I think plus the fact, I suppose, that people don't really understand the opportunities in this industry either, especially young people. I think your caller just referred to that earlier. Our focus with our apprentice program is squarely on getting new people into the industry, and particularly young people.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that. There's a new apprenticeship program started by your organization. Tell me about that. You said it's targeting young people, and how does it work?
Yeah, so we're going to launch it in the spring and trying to get, you know, young people into the program in the late spring and obviously for the summer peak tourism season and then into the fall for some more schooling and that sort of thing. So sequentially, we're working on it right now. The idea here is, I know you've talked about apprenticeships and how those are different from like interns as an example. I mean, an apprentice is an employee of a business. So we've got literally dozens of members of Hospitality Maine ready to take apprentices into the program, give them a job, and then start them in the schooling. As Charlie knows, we're working with the Maine Community College system to develop the curriculum whereby they'll handle the classroom training. We're actually launching this at the Southern Maine Community College, but we're going to roll it out in the campuses across the state, community college campuses, so that we can serve the needs that exist throughout the state for new workers. And, you know, so it's really a program where you can earn while you learn, as well as at a very low cost, if at a cost at all. So what we're going to have to do, frankly, is get the word out to high schools across the state, not just career technology colleges, you know, the formal vocational schools, of which a lot of them would be prime sources for this program, but all high schools. And so the kids don't know what they want to do for a career. They want to make a career in hospitality, and here's what you can do and how you get in.
Well, Steve, thanks so much for calling in. That's Steve Hewins, president and CEO of Hospitality Maine. We have an email from Jonathan who says he completed his PhD in public policy in USM, and his doctoral dissertation was on apprenticeships. And it's a long email, but I want to bring up a couple points that he brings up. He says, businesses still think apprenticeship is going to cost them money. That is widely held as a deterring factor for apprenticeship in the U.S. and many other countries, despite the fact that most of the empirical evidence supports a conclusion to the contrary. So, Joan, tell us why, you know, if a business owner is listening to this and thinking, I kind of like the idea, but how much is it going to cost? What do you say to them?
Well, I say that we have some resources in our state to help offset the cost, particularly of the classroom training. And it is going to cost you a little bit of money in providing the mentor, because apprenticeship is about having a mentor to show the new person how to do the trade. But we have state general funds support up to $1,200 a year per apprentice to offset the cost of classroom training. We have other workforce funding available that we attach to apprentices when we can. Some of those funding streams have some knotted cables that I call to figure out whether or not person's eligible, typically related to their income level. And then we also partner with our community college friends to access Maine Quality Center funding. So we have a lot of way to make the cost of the training, the actual classroom training, lower, no cost. So the cost really is about, you know, providing the mentor. But one statistic from the U.S. Department of Labor that's very encouraging is that 90% of people who apprentice at a business remain at that business. So it's a wonderful retention tool. So it's good to invest in your people, and to have them stay on afterwards is even better.
I have a tweet. Can you please address apprenticeships for older people? I'm 56, kids in college, and just moved to Maine. I'm ready to work.
Hmm. Well, I had a conversation and speaking with Steve. I know Steve Hewins mentioned, trying to target young people to think of hospitality as a career and move through it in the apprenticeships. But I had conversations with other hotel owners who have talked about the idea of people getting ready to retire or thinking of retiring and being able to switch a career where they can go where we're so seasonal in the state, they could go into a local hotel and start continuing a part-time career and doing something like that. So I know there are people and there are organizations that are working with people in what they think of as their encore career. And that is definitely a discussion that I've had with several people.
We'll go to Tom calling from Bath. Hi, Tom. Go ahead.
Hi, Jen. Thanks for taking my call. I'm an adjunct instructor at Southern Maine Community College. And what I was calling to say was the tree care industry approached the college to have us develop a one-year job-ready program and a two-year associate's degree program to get more people into the tree care industry because there's such a vast need for skilled, safe practitioners of tree care. So I was calling to say that we've been working with the Maine Quality Center, Southern Maine Community College, and we've developed a one-year program where students will get their tuition free up to $4,500. And students that complete the program would end up with their Maine State Arborist license, their Maine Pesticide Applicator's license, and a commercial driver's license with an air brake endorsement. And it's a wonderful opportunity for someone who's interested in working outdoors, working with trees, to get that training for free. And there are companies waiting in line to interview them as soon as they are done. And I just wanted to put in a plug for that program. And if folks are interested, I can get information to either your program or by some means.
Well, Tom, I welcome you in the short term to go onto our Facebook page and our post today and put the information in the comments section. That's a good first line for some information, but an example of some of the creative thinking going on out there.
Yeah, definitely. Tom, hi. Thank you for calling in on that. That is exactly going back to my previous example of different ways of getting to the same end, which is connecting people with companies with jobs that they want to do. And that is a good example of working together by using the Maine Quality Center resources, the curriculum the college already has, and providing a shorter training time to somebody getting a credential versus the traditional college way, associate degrees.
Thank you, Tom. We'll go to Kaylin, who's calling from Portland, and the Learning Works program. Hi, Kaylin. Go ahead.
Hi, Jennifer. How are you?
Good.
Good. So at Learning Works, the Youth Building Alternatives program, we have just implemented a new part of our program where students are doing an OJT in order to kind of dip their toes in the water with some of the employers that are in the area, hospitality, HVAC, electricians, things like that, other places that they can try before they decide to really dive in and be a part of an apprenticeship program. And we found that that's something that's super successful for engaging youth between the ages of 17 and 24. We also have, with our internship program, built some really, really great connections within the community with employers who didn't even know that we were a resource of potential employees for them. So it's been really awesome to be able to build this and expose the students to all sorts of different options for them after they finish YBA, not just getting a job, you know, like doing the same old, being able to open up the possibilities of getting into a trade and really being able to provide for themselves and really even start their own business if they wanted to afterwards.
Well, Kaylin, thanks so much for calling in. And as with the most recent caller, I invite you to go onto our Facebook page and put more information about Learning Works. Bill, I'm wondering, you know, are some of the programs that Husson University offers, the internship programs, are these almost like a precursor to a potential apprenticeship later? Like, let's see what some of these industries are and think if I might be interested in going this route.
Could be that. Could be, certainly. You know, the internship program, could lead to a job at that company, which could, if they were active with apprentice programs, kind of evolve into that as well. But it's just when you think about the needs of the state, and we hear from the Educate Maine and Maine Spark that there's a need for workers. Everybody. We've had Steve call in regarding the hospitality industry. We've heard about the nursing industry and the IT industry. You know, my advice to companies would be, if you don't have an active internship program, you should start one. And I'd be happy to take calls on how to set that up. But if a company's interested in doing that, there's so many great examples that companies that are active with an internship program that could provide the steps for setting up a program.
We're going to take another quick break, but first, a word about tomorrow's show. Our tech team returns to talk about the latest in the world of technology and to answer your questions. Email your comments or questions to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet us, or post to our Facebook page. You're listening to Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
President Trump has made his case for a massive wall along the Mexican border.
This barrier is absolutely critical to border security. It's also what our professionals at the border want and need. This is just common sense.
We'll have reaction from Democrats, Republicans, and people on both sides of the border this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered is coming up this afternoon at 4 here on Maine Public Radio.
Coming up on the next Commonwealth Club program, each year McKinsey & Company and LeanIn.org issue a report on the state of women in corporate America. Each year, we learn that women continue to be underrepresented in business, from entry-level positions to the corner office. Join us for a discussion of the findings on the 2018 report on women in the workplace and the study's suggestions for concrete actions companies can take to address the situation. On the next Commonwealth Club radio program.
Coming up today at 2 here on Maine Public Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, the role of apprenticeships in Maine. Joining us today, Bill Watson with HUSN, Joan Dolan with the Department of Labor, and Charlie Collins with the Maine Community College System. Join our conversation at 1-800-399-3566. Again, 1-800-399-3566. We're going to go to Gitta, who's calling from Brunswick. Hi, go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Hi, Jennifer. Thanks for taking my call. So I just have a few comments. I grew up in Germany, where the apprenticeship program.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and so my comment is basically here in Maine, the schools seem to emphasize, or they emphasize college education over any kind of technical education. And the school counselors often have no time to really address a student's interest in the technical education and the apprenticeships.
You know, Gitta, you're breaking up, but I think we've gotten the gist of what you're saying, and I see some nods happening in this room. Frustration with the kind of messages young people are getting about the kinds of trades that have apprenticeships as a possible route into that profession.
Absolutely. I think that it's a cultural thing as much as it's not just a Maine thing. It's a United States cultural thing. In Europe, apprentices go all the way and earn their PhDs along the way. So it really is an alternative pathway to successful attainment of skilled credentials. And it's very well recognized, where in the United States, it's kind of you can go do that if you want. But we're trying to change that.
Yeah, and dovetailing with what Gitta has said, this is an email from Antje. I grew up in Germany and did an apprentice as a goldsmith. It was a 3.5-year program where I worked in a jewelry shop with 2 masters, a journeyman, and 4 other apprentices. The first week I spent sawing and filing squares out of copper sheets. It was a very thorough way of learning. Depending on our skill level, we would do custom orders and experience day-to-day jobs and tasks in a store. We wrote weekly reports on the pieces we did and the skills we learned. One day a week, we had to learn all the theories, metallurgy, stones, customers, drawings, math, etc. Every year we had exams to test our skills, and week-long workshops once a year to teach skills that are not commonly used in shops anymore. Coming to this country to work as a goldsmith, I was amazed at the difference in basic knowledge that was missing in college-trained students. I am glad I got the thorough training and wish it was more widespread in this country.
You'll be happy to know we just registered our first goldsmith apprenticeship program with Day's Jewelers in Waterville. So, even jewelers are starting to recognize the missing gap.
We'll go to Tom, who's calling from Lewiston. Hi, Tom. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you? I'm glad to be on your program. Listen to it all the time.
Super.
I was in the apprenticeship at Bath Iron Works in 1980 as a machinist, and it was a three-year program, and I had a great time there. And also, I was qualified under the government for veterans assistance, so it was like on-job training. So as my pay would increase at Bath Iron Works, the OJT I received from the administration would decrease over a three-year period. So I was at the pay level of a full machinist all the time while I was learning. So it was quite a good program. I enjoyed it very much and stayed in the machinist industry for quite a while until I retired.
Well, Tom, thank you for your endorsement. And what you did in the 80s is coming back, right?
Yes, it is.
Thank you so much for your call. We're going to go to Megan calling from Cape Elizabeth. Hi, Megan. Go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Here, I'm turning this off. I think this is a marvelous idea, and it's too long in coming. I was trying to get my wood stove repaired this winter, and there's one man in the state of Maine who can repair wood stoves. Hello? Hello?
Yeah, well, yes, great. Sounds like he or she needs an apprentice. He needs an apprentice.
Right. And he is, I talked to him about it, and he's not interested because the insurance and everything else that he would have to do, but places like the Vermont Casting Wood Stoves, why they don't have more apprentice programs and, you know, reach out to high schools and, you know, places in Maine, you know, companies. But it's just there's a lot of guys that are just aging out of their jobs, and there's no kids to come in and take over.
Sure, Megan. I'm glad you called, because I think earlier in the program we mentioned that it is sometimes easier for larger organizations to do this. You know, if you all are listening to this and maybe there's somebody out there, whether he's somebody who repairs wood stoves or has some other specialized skill, would love to take apprentices on but is afraid about things like insurance, what do you say to them?
So what one thing that my office is really focusing on lately is registering what we refer to as intermediary sponsors of apprenticeship that can handle some of the paperwork that goes along with apprenticeship. So, for instance, talking to the Maine State Chamber about becoming a sponsor, and then their member businesses could work with the chamber to develop an apprenticeship for their business, and the chamber would actually handle the paperwork between my office and the chamber. York Chamber of Commerce, Sebasticook Valley Chamber of Commerce are also interested, and I'm also in conversation with four community colleges in our state to become the sponsors of apprenticeship as well. And I think that will really facilitate the growth of apprenticeship, and it'll facilitate smaller businesses having access to apprentices.
Thank you, Megan, for your call. We'll move on to Alan, who's calling from Lewiston. Hi, Alan. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you? I'm also the training director for the Portland Electrical JETC here in Lewiston, which we've been established since 1941 with the state of Maine as registered apprenticeship.
I'm going to stop you right there, Alan. What is the JETC?
JAT stands for Joint Apprenticeship Training Committee, which represents the fact that we work very closely with the employers of our industry. So they have a shared interest, and they help us sponsor our apprenticeship so that we actually offer it tuition-free for those students that are eligible and accepted into our program. This year, we've tapped out over 80 apprentices in our program, and what we're striving to do is to fill the needs for quality craftsmen in the electrical industry here in the state.
Terrific. If someone wants to find out more about it, if somebody thinks they'd love to become an electrician, how do they find out about your program?
I would ask them to go to IBEW567.com on the tab for apprenticeship. They can click there, and there's some information and a form that they can fill out. We'll send them the application packet and all of the initial information they would need.
All right. Well, Alan, thanks for your call. And I know that this is a point that you wanted to make, Joan, which is that the unions and some companies also are great sources for
We spent a fair amount of time talking about the relationship with the community colleges, but I did want to mention that we work with a number of unions across the state. Alan Shepard is actually on our apprenticeship council, so hi, Alan. And he's the electrical union. We work with another electrical union in Fairfield, and we work with the plumbers and pipe fitters union out of Augusta. So, I mean, and they offer the training right in-house, and they're establishing agreements with many of our high schools to give those kids in high school a first look to get them into the queue to be apprentices for those organizations. And, you know, it's really a wonderful opportunity to earn a very respectable mid-level career that can earn a family wage and really advance somebody to a good place in our state. So the unions provide a wonderful service to our people.
Alan, thank you for your call. We're going to go to Ann, who's calling from Falmouth. Hi, Ann. Go ahead.
Hey, Jennifer. Thank you. I haven't heard all of the program, but and you may have touched on this, but I, before the Industrial Revolution, you know, a lot of young people apprenticed in the arts. You know, they learned goldsmithing, they learned silversmithing, blacksmithing. We have a resurgence of extraordinary art happening here in Maine. And I'd just like any of your panel to address, you know, many kids come in with gifts and talents that tend to get kind of sidetracked, you know, which obviously to make a living, this may not be the best way. But I'm just wondering if somebody would touch on that, because the arts community has a wide open door in this state. I mean, I'm thinking also of a place like the Telling Room here, right here in Portland, Maine, and of course, Maine College of Art. So I'd just like somebody to address that as a possibility for a young person who may have that talent and ability.
Sure, Anne, thank you. And I have read about, Joan, there are arts apprenticeships in Maine, one-on-one apprenticeships with master craftsmen and craftswomen.
Right. So we really don't have a whole lot in that realm at this moment, but we do have a recently registered goldsmith apprenticeship program, and we're open to registering others. It's really, in order to establish apprenticeship, you have to have a business that's interested in having an apprentice. And it has to, you know, to be registered with my office, it has to have a component, an educational component, as well as an on-the-job learning component that's very structured and outlined at the offset and includes incremental wage increases as the apprentice's skills increase. But, you know, virtually any occupation is apprenticeable. It's certainly not reserved only for the trades. There's lots of opportunity. It just takes a business who would like to have an apprentice.
Yeah, and I would offer, you know, even in the community colleges, I think they're often thought of as just traditional trades or traditional career building, but there's budding art programs in many of our community colleges. And one example at Southern Maine Community College is right next to the welding training lab is space for artists to use the welding skills to create art, as one example. And so that's oftentimes where it starts. And as Joan said, you do need to have somebody, a master, a mentor, somebody in a company or a company to step up and say, yes, we want to have this apprentice.
Anne, thank you for your call. We'll go to Dee Dee, who's calling from Freeport High School. Hi, Dee Dee, go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. I'm coming into your program a little late, so I'm not sure if this was already covered, but I'm the outreach coordinator at Freeport High School, and we're looking at ways to offer multiple pathways for our students. We have a pretty traditional school, and apprenticeships are something that we really want to explore, as well as internships. And was just curious what kind of opportunities or support might be out there to help a school develop that kind of program, and how one would get started.
Well, certainly through the community colleges is a good place to start. Dee Dee. I think what you'll find is we probably have relationships with you already on dual enrollment credit. I think there's probably people already talking between your community colleges and your high schools. The next step is to understand a little bit more of the training programs that have been started at each of the community colleges through what we call continuing ed or workforce training departments. And it might be worth reaching out directly just to say, what are some of these training programs? Because they really do offer a graduating high school student an option versus a direct degree program.
All right. Well, Dee Dee, thank you for your call. We have an email here from Susan, and this addresses Megan's concern. Megan was the caller just a couple minutes ago. Susan writes, I was an apprentice to Master Weaver Carol Schwartzot in Niagara Falls, New York. I learned to process fiber, spin and weave, and helped to show work at the American Craft Council show in Rhinebeck. I continued to do production work for her for about 2 years. Now I teach others to weave. Maine Craft has an apprentice program, and she has information there about Maine. You can go to mainecrafts.org and find out about the apprenticeships that were announced this year. So I'm going to go to James, who's calling from Dresden. Hi, James. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. This is James.
Hey, James, can you be closer to your phone, please? It sounds like a speakerphone from far away.
What's that?
Better.
That's any better?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, listen, there was a program back in the late 80s and early 90s that the state used to have. It was called the Aspire program. And I was one of those. I was a military, and I got out of the military, and I was told to go check in on this. Now I'm a Class A driver. All the recommendations was that you pass your course, and then you pay taxes in the state of Maine for 2 years. I've been in the state of Maine ever since 1989, and, you know, I'm still driving a Class A vehicle.
Well, James, thanks for calling. Yeah.
That program used to be out there. I don't know if it's still there or not.
Yep. So I think that program was probably offered through the Department of Health and Human Services. They administered the Aspire program, I believe. But we do have apprenticeship programs for CDL drivers and also for bus drivers in our state. So,
all right. Well, I'm going to mention many of the resources. We will post many of the resources mentioned today on the program. I want to thank our guests. That was Joan Dolan, you just heard from. She is the Director of Apprenticeship and Strategic Partners for the Maine Department of Labor. Charlie Collins, Deputy Executive Director for Workforce Training for the Maine Community College System. And Bill Watson, Director of Husson University's Internship and Partnership Programs and General Manager of Husson's Southern Maine Campus. Thank you all for being here today. Lucy Suchek ran the board today. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.